Welcome into the Camel Call Podcast. My name is Chris Haymeyer. Just me here today. Our great friend Evan Budrovich is on paternity leave as he and his wife welcomed baby Ruby into this world a couple weeks ago. Everyone is doing great. Lyndall Suggs is broadcasting for MLB.com down in Vero Beach, Florida for the Breakthrough Series, and Zach Burley on assignment, but we have a great show nonetheless. On the podcast, we will have my sit-down interview with head men's basketball coach John Andershek, and we talk about it all, from where he grew up to his stops in his coaching career, winning the national championship with Florida just a few months ago, and then rolling into his first few months on this job. We really, really get to know him with this interview. Everything from how he graduated from an Ivy League school in 2.5 years to recruiting in Madagascar. That is all coming up on the podcast. But first, we are really excited about a big week coming up here at Campbell. On Monday, June 23rd, we are celebrating the years of service and leadership to Campbell University by our retiring president, Dr. J. Bradley Creed. We will have a special ceremony inside the lobby of the Pope Convocation Center. The event will begin at 10:30 a.m. It's open to the public, and it centers around some really cool renovations going on in Gore Arena. I will not ruin any surprises, but stay locked into our social media next week for a look. If you can't make it Monday, try to stop by the Gore Arena lobby coming up, because you will literally not believe your eyes. All right, also coming up this next week on Wednesday, June 25th, it's our second stop on the Camel Caravan as we head to Fayetteville, North Carolina. Our men's basketball coach, John Andershek, and baseball coach, Chris Marks, will be along with us. We've got two places where you can catch the coaches. First, from 4:30 to 6, we will be at Gaston Brewing Restaurant in downtown Fayetteville. It's going to be informal and free. It's a meet and greet. We would love for you to stop by. And then if you can only make it to the event later that night, or you can make it later that night with us, just come on down the street, a block down the street, walking distance. We're headed to Segra Stadium. That's the home of the Fayetteville Woodpeckers for a minor league baseball game. 6:30 p.m. start, and we have a special discounted ticket link for all Campbell fans. It's linked on gocamels.com. With that link, you can get reserved seats all in for just $12. The coaches will be throwing out the first pitch. We cannot wait for that. Also, we can't wait for football season. Season tickets on sale now. Also, our homecoming mini plans will be available starting next week. Of course, if you're a member of the Finding Campbell Club, you already have access to the homecoming mini plan. Now, the mini plan gets you a ticket to the season opener on September 13th versus Furman. It gives you a guaranteed ticket to the homecoming game on October 18th, and you'll also get a ticket for the November 15th showdown with Elon, all at a special price. So season tickets or the mini plan, that's the only way to secure and get your homecoming ticket right now. Head to gocamels.com or call our ticket office at 1-877-GO-HUMPS, 1-877-GO-HUMPS. Such a great schedule this year. Especially the home schedule. I know we've been telling you about it for a while, but that's how excited we are. Furman, Western Carolina, Elon, William & Mary, a night game thrown in there against Bryant. 6 home games and the best home schedule that Campbell football has ever had. And it's the best overall schedule, period. Campbell playing 2 FBS games this year against 2 in-state foes. Will be at East Carolina on September 6th. They have the game time out for that game. That's going to be 6 p.m. And on October 4th, Campbell will head up to Raleigh to take on NC State for the first time in football. There is a Campbell section of tickets available for just a short time, just the next couple weeks through NC State. So gopack.com. You can enter the promo code ROLLHUMPS. ROLLHUMPS is the promo code, and you'll get access to a special pricing and special section of Campbell fans.
Hey, Campbell fans, this is Braxton Harris, and I've got one question for you. Are you ready for game day? Well, get your game face on, because Campbell's 2025 football season is here. We're bringing the energy, the grit, and the passion, and we want you to be right there with us. But hey, game day is just the beginning. You want to make a real impact? then it's time to step up and join the Fighting Camel Club. Being a part of the Fighting Camel Club means you become the team behind the team, fueling scholarships, training, and academic success for not just our football athletes, but all 21 of our sports. When you join, you're not just a fan, you're a game changer. So what do you say, Camel Nation? Let's make a difference together. Join the Fighting Camel Club today and help us build champions on the field, in the classroom, and beyond.
Our football schedule and home game times are out at GoCamels.com, and also our volleyball schedule is out. That dropped this week. Volleyball starts the season at South Carolina in their tournament and then opens up their home slate with the Fairfield Inn and Suites of Dunn Campbell Invitational. That starts on September 5th. All Campbell volleyball games are free. GoCamels.com has the schedule. Our soccer schedules and other fall sports should be coming out in the next month. Believe it or not, speaking of months, we're just 2 months away from the start of the fall seasons, and then that will lead right into basketball. And as promised, here's my interview with men's basketball coach John Andershek. With New Campbell head men's basketball coach John Andershek, and we go back to not that long ago, March 16th, you as a part of the Florida coaching staff just won the SEC tournament. 4 days after that, you become head men's basketball coach for the Campbell Fighting Camels. Then 20 days after that, you cut down the nets in San Antonio as a national champion. A couple days after that, you are here at your introductory press conference. Can you even wrap your head around and give us a sense of what that 25 days was like?
I mean, everybody's used the word, but it's been an absolute whirlwind. And I'm glad you brought up the SEC tournament, because that was probably the craziest chapter of it. Like, we played 3 games in 3 days. As the defensive coordinator, I had to prepare us for each of those scouts. So, and you don't know who you're going to play. You know, it depends who wins. So there were a lot of 3, 4 a.m. type nights, getting ready to play Tennessee, getting ready to play whoever it may be. And then right after we won in Nashville, it beat Tennessee to win the SEC title, I didn't go back with the plane. I flew directly out to campus to sit down with everybody and do my on-campus interview and really see if this dream could become a reality. So those 4 days were kind of the height of the mania.
Well, and then during that 3 weeks, while you're trying to win a national championship with Florida, preparing everything that you do, you also had been named the head coach of Campbell. So you had 2 full-time jobs that were very busy.
Yeah, no doubt. And actually, my associate coach, Landry Kosmowski, really helped me during that process, because I was constantly struggling with how to divide my time, you know, because 1 minute I'd be, you know, going all in on trying to prepare a staff, trying to make hires, trying to start recruiting guys. And then the next minute I'd be like, oh, I owe these Florida kids a chance to live out their dreams and go to a Final Four. And I was really conflicted. And to be honest, what Landry helped me with is he said, hey, the best thing for Campbell is actually for you guys to win the national title. Like, even if we get a week behind on recruiting, that will help our brand. That'll help us attract more talented guys, you know. So it's okay. You're not cheating Campbell by going 70-30 when you're in the Final Four. Like, go make sure you win those games.
Mission accomplished. You win a national championship. Can you describe to us what that feeling was like, the pinnacle of coaching career?
Yeah, euphoria. I mean, there's a clip running around somewhere of me just sprinting. I didn't know I could reach those top speeds. I mean, that was about as hard as I could go. And just looking for somebody to hug, and, like, you know, there's so many hours that goes into trying to get to that moment. There's so many seasons where you come up short, or you're looking up at the mountain going, wow, what would it take to get up there? You know, I remember being in the Ivy League, being at Columbia, and we finally broke through and got to 4th in the league. And then we got 3rd, and it felt like a great accomplishment, you know. But you're still looking up, and there's so many levels to climb to get to the very top. So to fast forward and to do it, to see the summit, you know, it's unbelievable.
It's going to be many chapters in the book of your life, but right now you think of those 25 days, all of this happens. Was there one surreal moment or 2 surreal moments that really stand out, that every so often it hits you?
Yeah. When I actually got up to the podium here to be introduced as the head coach. And I think I said, wow, or something like that. And that's really how I felt. Like it was, it hit me like, this is really my opportunity. I get a chance to be here. I'm really going to take over this program. I'm going to work with these people. I'm going to be a part of this community. Like it kind of hit me all at once. Cause you know, before that moment, you're just preparing. Like you're trying to make sure you can get the job. You're trying to get a staff together. You're trying to start recruiting. You're trying, you're constantly getting stuff done. And then over that 24 hours, it was like, wow, this is real, you know? And that felt great. Like that really was genuinely one of the best moments I've ever had.
As we record this interview, it's really been less than a month since you've been here, been on campus. I know that's been a whirlwind as well. Talk to me first off about this incredible staff that you have put together.
Yeah, I love my staff. I really feel that I got my reach candidate in a number of different spots, you know, starting with Landry. I mean, Landry's been a proven head coach, won over 80% of his games in that capacity. Also has walked the walk too. He was a great player at Davidson. He's in their Hall of Fame, 1,400 points, 900 rebounds, and he's a great teacher of the game. So we're going to pride ourselves as a program on coaching our guys really well, on developing them, on, you know, bringing them in at a certain level and having them graduate at a much higher level. And I think he is going to be an integral part of that process. I also just hired a guy that's not even announced yet, but I got Eddie Hill from UC Riverside, who was the associate head coach out there. He's got a proven track record getting in the gym with guys, developing them, great connector, great mouthpiece, guys love them. Guy you want to share stuff with and help you in life. And again, another guy who frankly is overqualified, but excited to be out here, loves the small town community vibe. And he also is a great player. He played at Washington State. He's eighth all time in scoring up there. So those two are going to be kind of my cornerstones as we build the program. They know what winning looks like. They've been a part of a lot of really good cultures, and they'll be instrumental in building that up. Anthony Lorenzo is also a guy that I've known for forever. So I initially brought him to San Francisco as a GA. You know, Kyle Smith said, hey, you can handle that hire. And I interviewed a bunch of guys and came up with this manager from New Jersey who had been a Division III coach. And he's kind of stuck with our tree ever since. He spent 4 years with us at Washington State. We had a lot of success there. Last year, he was at UC Riverside as an assistant. I trust Anthony with my life. He's a great dude. The guys will love him. He's also great with the film and preparing edits, both for our recruiting presentations, but also to show the team when we're grading our performance, when we're analyzing what we did well, what we need to do better. I also brought back Austin Burnett. So Austin played here. He was on those great Chris Clemens teams. He's seen this place kind of at a really high level, winning games, I think they were in the Big South that winning that conference. And he has a genuine love for the place. You know, it's a lot of credit to him that we bridged that gap and got him back, because to be honest, I was trying to hire a staff of guys that I had already worked with. Like that was important to me because they would be guys that really knew our program well. And Austin just made such a good impression during the interview process, and just his love for the place and his desire to be back here and do whatever it takes to get on staff just blew me away, to be honest. So I'm really excited to have him around. And then I also hired Joseph Yespu. So he's the youngest one on staff. He literally just got done playing at West Virginia. He's a guy I recruited to Washington State, and he has won a national title at Kansas. He was a March Madness star with Drake, scored 26 against USC, I think 21 against Wichita State. But more importantly than that, like, he fits our culture to a T. He's got a great personality, big smile, great connector, loves getting in the gym. He's a man of faith. We'll see him in church. He just fits the values of Campbell really, really well, and I'm excited to help mold him in his career.
Of course, you get this staff together at the same time you're recruiting. Now that you have the staff, everybody out there recruiting, how has the recruiting gone these first couple of weeks?
Yeah, it's going good. I mean, it's a full contact sport right now. You know, everybody's hitting the guys in the transfer portal really hard. We worked a lot of late nights doing Zooms, doing calls, official visits, got some commitments. We're getting some momentum. But we're going to be selective too. You know, we have had guys on campus too that, you know, we haven't thought that they perfectly matched our values and what I'm looking for in terms of great attitude, hard workers, and guys that are going to have tremendous pride in Campbell. And we're going to stick to that. We're going to be thorough in vetting guys and making sure we have our type of people, you know. But I think over the next 3-4 weeks, it'll continue to, you know, we'll continue to fill out this roster pretty quickly, get 2-3 commitments at a time. And by the time we bring the team back on June 8th, I would expect to be full.
It is early. You're still learning the many things that make this place, this community, so special. But early on, what are the things that you're communicating to the recruits that make this place special and why this is a place for them?
Yeah, it's a place where they'll genuinely love you. You know, when you're walking through the quad, when you're at Sports Zone or one of the restaurants, you're at the gas station, you will see everybody. You will see donors, you'll see professors, you'll see the president of the school, you'll see the AD, you'll see fans, you'll see the janitor, you know, and you have to be great in those interactions. And like, that's what this place is about. It's about those 3-4 minute talks and asking people how their life is and them asking you how the team is, what do you think of the head coach? Like, that's what makes these kind of places great. What makes Campbell so exciting for me, because it reminds me of where I grew up. You know, I was in a small town, 60 kids in my graduating class, you know, that's exciting for me. So I don't run from it. I sell it hard with the guys. I say these are great places to get good. These are great places to build culture. I use it as part of our sales pitch for why you should want to be here. And then beyond that, we sell our style of play, and we sell my history recruiting and coaching NBA players and all the success we had at Washington State and Florida, and saying, hey, we can help you reach that next level you gain.
Coach, I've heard you say it a couple times when you're talking to recruits, an opportunity school is something you're framing Campbell as. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, you know, I think in this modern world with NIL, with transfer portal, all that stuff, there's a transactional aspect to college athletics now, and especially college basketball. And for me, like, Campbell offers a transformational experience. And I'm not afraid to sell them that. I bring that to every kid in the Zoom. This is a transformational experience in a transactional world. And that's what Campbell has been for decades now. It's a place where people come here to grow up, to have a school that really invests in them academically, that cares about their character development, you know, being all that you can be, not only in the classroom, but also as a human, as a teammate, as a community member. And we need to bring in those guys too. That's going to be important to me as I'm vetting each guy that we bring on campus.
How have you found the welcome has been for you since you've become a part of this Campbell community?
Oh, terrific. Terrific. I've never felt more welcomed anywhere in my life. I mean, everywhere I go, people are coming up to me and rooting the team on and saying how excited they are to have me on board. And, you know, to be honest, I just want to make sure I make everybody proud and deliver on the expectations that we do then.
You mentioned it a little bit, but let's talk about and go way back of where you grew up. An hour outside of Syracuse, you were in Hamilton, New York. It's closer to the Canadian border than it is to New York City, a town of about 4,000, according to the last census. As you talked about, your high school was a graduating class of 60. What was it like growing up in that community?
Yeah, it is great. It was just genuine relationships. It was, you know, you hang out with the same kids every day after school, and you rotate what sport you're going to play. Maybe it's flag football today, then it's tackle, then it's soccer, then it's wiffle ball. Basically, you know, it's all that stuff. It's being on the lawn in the middle of, you know, the town square. It's memories you'll never forget, and people that, you know, still stay in touch, people that I'm still friends with, that I still care a lot about. It's relationships, and that's what I think the Buies Creek community is too. It's all about the relationships, you know, and that excites me. Like, those are great places to build culture and have a genuine fan engagement where our guys know the people that are going to be sitting in the stands cheering them on. You know, so I can't wait to get it going.
How did your love of basketball grip you when you were that age growing up in Hamilton?
Yeah, it was a big part of it. To be honest, I was a baseball guy first. I was probably best at baseball. You wouldn't be able to tell from my first pitches that One was a little high, one was a little low, you know, so forgive me on that. But I was a big baseball guy. We were number two in the state. We had a lot of success. We had some great teams that kind of set records at my high school. And I slowly sort of transitioned to being more into basketball. But I played baseball, basketball, and football through high school, you know. And then I had some Division III recruitment for basketball. I thought hard about doing that. And I ended up just going to Columbia and playing JV there. And I thought I was going to be a teacher. I thought I was going to be a professor and probably a high school basketball coach. You know, I'm a teacher at heart. That's the part that I love about the job, is like building things up incrementally and helping guys kind of reach their potential. And when I was there, I was working for Kyle Smith. I was just around the team all the time. And I felt like I couldn't give up on the competitiveness and the just the daily intensity of being a part of a college basketball program, you know, and that's really what got my career going.
You know, you said it kind of nonchalantly, but you go from a town of 4,000 to an Ivy League school in the middle of New York City. One, why was the Ivy League, Columbia, New York City, almost the complete opposite of how you were brought up? Well, why was that the place of you?
Yeah, I think it's a stage of life thing. You know, like coming from that background of being in a really small town, at that time, I wanted to see something bigger. You know, I had done 18 years of kind of small town living, and I wanted to see what the big city was like, you know, and so I got a chance to get into Columbia, which obviously was a very good school, and it was in the city. So I said, let's do it, you know, and I did that chapter. I loved it. I loved Columbia. It was a great place, special place in my heart. But as I get older, I don't need the big city anymore, you know, I need the genuine interactions.
Yeah.
You know, so this is a better fit for me now, but I don't regret that at all. I enjoyed being in New York for 4 or 5 years.
While working from a basketball team, which is a very demanding job, especially when you're a student trying to work your way onto that staff, you graduate from Columbia, yep, Ivy League school, in 2.5 years. How the heck did you do that?
Well, I was around all the time. You know, similar to the stage we're at right now, like you're trying to build a program, and everybody's just working their butt off to try to make that happen. You know, so during the summers, we were still in the office. I was doing everything I can, from ordering transcripts for kids to organizing summer camp, just anywhere that I could help make my mark and help the program I was doing. And in order to be able to stay on campus, I had to take classes. So during those summers, I'm taking a full course load of classes too while I'm working for the program. And so I was able to pile up some credits to graduate a little earlier. And that was important because it saved my family money. You know, it saved me money, it saved my dad money, you know, because those places are expensive. So being able to speed up the timeline was important practically too.
That's an example of it, but also during the interview process, everybody that knows you talks about your work ethic, the hours that you put in. Where does that come from?
My dad, for sure. I've got the distinct memories of him, you know, being on the dining room table at midnight, 1 a.m., getting a presentation just right, you know, before he flies out to, you know, make a pitch to a customer or something like that. And just the need that he had to do things at a very high level, you know, to not just be good, but be great. That was kind of ingrained in me. And that's something I've carried with me ever since. If you're going to do something, you better do it really well. You know, nothing halfway.
With the Columbia basketball program, you worked your way up from student to get on staff, and that got you into what has become an amazing coaching tree, a coaching tree that has won everywhere that they went. Kyle Smith, tell me about your head coach there and explain a little bit about this tree and the many successful branches.
Yeah, it's been an amazing journey because, you know, I think everybody, when they look back on it at this point, just sees all the success and goes, oh, you know, it's going to happen all the way, you know. But in the reality, like, there were some tough moments. Like, we had to work for it. There was a year at Columbia where we finished last in the Ivy League. We had to really go back to the drawing board and change some of our processes and adjust some things to to just be better, to coach the team better, to be better defensively, to recruit at a higher level. And that process, like the biggest thing I'd say for our family is we're inventive. We will problem solve and figure out what we need to change to fit each institution that we're at and each conference and how that conference plays. And that spirit is what has carried us to be able to win at different types of jobs, to be able to win in the Ivy League, to be able to go to the Pac-12, to Washington State, which is more of an opportunity school, big public institution, not the same admission standards, I'll say, and have a lot of success there, recruiting more regional guys, recruiting more transfers, to go to Florida and now be in a more blue blood type environment where you do have a lot of NIL money, you have some advantages, and be able to take the things that made the program good and our values and being picky with who we bring to campus, who we pick to work for us, and just putting all those lessons together to reinvent ourselves and make sure we put a good product on the floor.
That's the thing that people are learning. It's not just you and this coaching tree had success at Florida. You won at Columbia. You won at San Francisco. You won at Washington State. And then you think back to Kyle Smith, where he started this winning was at St. Mary's. And basketball fans know St. Mary's just kind of came up out of nowhere. And then they were competing with Gonzaga in that tournament. And you have won not only at blue blood places with a lot of money, but at places that usually don't have the resources, don't have the sexy town that a lot of other places do, which I think kind of went into the fact that you thought this was a place where you could come and win because you have done it before in a different way.
Honestly, St. Mary's and Washington State, I think, have very strong parallels to Campbell. Like there's large portions of the success at those places and the experience and the methodology at those places that we will use here. You know, they're all institutions that are in a little bit removed from a bigger city, not too far away. You know, Moraga is I don't know, 40 minutes from San Francisco, but it's got woods around it. It's kind of secluded. It's a place where you can build really good culture where you don't have the distractions on the outside. Washington State is, again, its own little metropolis, small town, not much around it. Again, a really good place to focus on basketball, to get in the gym, to improve and build good culture. Washington State's also an opportunity school. It's a place where you're going to have some guys that, you know, are at a different stage in life that maybe have transferred in from another institution or have had some things in the past that they've now improved on themselves. And I think we're going to take that same spirit here. Like we're going to have some guys from different schools, different backgrounds that need more playing time or, you know, want to be in a more in an environment where they're going to have more resources, more help to reach their academic goals. And we don't run from that. Like that's going to be a part of our success story here.
As part of the success from the coaching tree, there's two big things, analytics and recruiting. First, talk a little bit about the analytics part and how you guys not only ahead in the curve, but continue to evolve.
Yeah, it's been a big part of our success. Hustle stats is something we show to every single recruit on the front end. And we track something like 50 different categories. So things you won't find in the box score, right?
50.
Like, yeah. And it's become a little bit unwieldy, but it's really good for the players. It gives them clear feedback on what they're doing well. We try to celebrate that. And also what they can do to be a little better. And with guys that work really hard and take the coaching and have a growth mindset, they're going to have that tool to just become more and more efficient. And it's been the cornerstone of the success starting at St. Mary's, but at all these other places. So in the categories, again, are not things that are in the box score, right? Like if you drive by your guy and make the defense collapse and you throw it out to me and I miss a shot, you'll get a virtual assist, right? Like your process was good. It would have been an assist if I were a better shooter, you know?
Yeah.
So we're going to reward that. If you get a deflection on defense, you're going to get a couple points. If you box out, you'll get a point for that. And then there's some ways you can lose points too. If we're not helping the help run D, you know, if I have to come over and help on a baseline drive, I need you to drop down and make sure my guy isn't going to get a dunk. You know, it just creates a team where everybody's playing on a string and five guys are really playing as one.
And I guess the biggest thing is because you have a visual, you can tell somebody that they didn't block out on defense, but if there's a point system, that kind of hits home for 18, yeah. 22-year-olds.
And it takes time. We'll watch it as a staff after every practice, every game, anytime we play 5-on-5, and we'll have the tallies. We got our grids out, and you got to rewatch the film and go, no, I think he deflected that. And you look in close and go, hey, dude, you got a little finger on that ball, so you get some point. You know, so it's a labor-intensive system, but it can really help the guys and help us win a couple more games than our talent, which is important.
One of the many reasons your resume for this job jumped to the top of the pile was the fact that you've been a big part of recruiting these players that have gone on to win at these places, won a national championships. You're recruiting, you do it regionally, you do it nationally, but then you go to South America, you go to Africa, you go to Europe. Tell me about your recruiting. And you're not just recruiting on film, you're going to these places to see these people, why that's important and a big part of your process.
Yeah, some of it is, the genesis of a lot of it is that I'm a very inquisitive type person. Like, I like seeing new places. So when some people are scared off by the under 18 African championships being in Madagascar, I'm like, I'll go.
You know, is that a real thing that you went to Madagascar to see the African camp?
Yep.
Amazing.
Been there, did it in Egypt too, Tunisia. I bounced around pretty good. Yeah. And I think when you are willing to look places that other people aren't, a lot of times you can find some really good talent and some guys that are hungry for a shot. And I've been at a lot of places where that's where your forte is going to be, is guys that want a shot, and that. It's going to be a big part of what we do at Campbell is provide opportunity for people from wherever they may be, whether it's kids up the road in Raleigh, maybe at Millbrook High School. Millbrook's been good to us, so we better be looking there pretty hard. But also looking in Europe, looking in South America, looking in Africa. I speak a little bit of Spanish too, so that might help us too.
Your recruiting led you directly or indirectly, however you want to look at it, to your fiance. Tell me about that story and how you all met. You say you know a little bit of Spanish, but you know a lot of Spanish, don't you?
Yeah, a good amount. It was 2 years ago. I was on a recruiting trip in Buenos Aires and went to a restaurant that she was working at. And we just kind of hit it off and stayed in contact, and then have traveled a lot with her. We've gone to Greece, we've gone to Mexico, we've gone to Spain, it just really feel like I found my person, and she feels the same way. We love each other deeply, and she's very excited to be a part of this journey and to come to North Carolina now.
Finally, you have, again, been here for a short amount of time, hit the ground running, working all hours of the day and night. What has it felt like to be a part of this community when the few moments where you do take a breath, how have you liked how the community has welcomed you?
Well, it's been great. It's been great. It's everywhere. I go to the little Chinese restaurant across the street. I go to Walmart. If I'm certainly if I'm at Sports Zone, it's cool. It makes me feel genuinely appreciated. And more importantly than that, it reminds me that, like, when we get this program going, when we are competing for championships in the league, just how overwhelming the community is going to be, how overwhelming the support's going to be.
The next couple of months, school has ended, summer is coming up. What are you expecting? What will be going on here in these next 2 months?
A lot of official visits, a lot of Zooms. We got to fill a roster. I have my staff finalized now, which I'm super excited about, and I went a little slow. I wanted to make sure I got it right. I wanted to make sure I got the best people I could at every spot, and more importantly that I had a staff that balances each other out well and increases our overall bandwidth, and we've done that. And so now it's all in on getting a roster together, and again, I want to take a little bit of an NBA view where I'm trying to recruit guys that A, fit our culture, but B, fit our style of play. We're going to play the same way we did at Florida. going to play fast. We're going to push the pace. We're going to run the ball screen motion in the half court. Why mess with success? We won the national title. I know that style of play inside and out. So I'm going to try to get the kind of guards and the kind of bigs that you need to play that way. And I'm okay if it takes a couple extra weeks to get it all finalized.
He's our men's basketball coach, John Andrzejczyk. And stay tuned. We will have an announcement coming up in the next couple of weeks. We are going to take him out on a coach's caravan across North Carolina. Thank you so much for taking the time.
No, thank you for having me here. This is awesome. I'm so excited to be your head coach. I can't wait to get to the games and meet everybody.
That's Campbell head men's basketball coach John Andrzejczyk, and this has been Camel Call. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go Campbell.